Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Let's see. You've applied for our open position for account representative?
Yeah, that's the one.
Great. I see you went to UC Berkeley.
It was really awesome. We had several sit-ins to protest oppressive capitalism.
Oh, and how about your skills for this position?
Oh, yes. I know all about how to spot microaggressions and root out privilege.
We don't really do that here. We do accounting and finance consulting.
Do you have any safe spaces?
Safe spaces?
Yes, where people can go to get away from the colonialist mentality. As long as there's a diversity, equity, and inclusion policy, we'll be fine.
Life's too short to waste your time on bad hires. I'm Andrew Krapschatz, the CEO and founder of RedBalloon.Work. Every week, tens of thousands of reliable, career-minded job seekers visit RedBalloon.Work without all that woke nonsense. Post your open jobs at RedBalloon.Work. And if you put in promo code SALEM, you'll receive 10% off your first month's job postings.
Todd Starnes.
You know, I want to say something here right out of the gate. And I don't mean to offend, but I'm probably going to. I think by the end of the Republican primary process, there will be a lot of brand new alcoholics in America. Folks, I'm telling you, it's enough to drive a Baptist to drink in public, that is. Welcome, everybody, to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us. But I'm telling you, the back and forth between Team Trump and Team DeSantis, geez, aloo. Come on, people. We're only on day two. All right. It's a marathon. There's no need to unleash every single day. But if you're following all of the back and forth between the Trump people and the DeSantis people, DeSantis is a rhino liberal, I don't know, secret son, love child of George H.W. Bush. And from the other side, you've got people accusing President Trump of cavorting with prostitutes and Dr. Fauci. It's a mess out there. So everybody just take a deep breath. You're giving me a headache. I mean, it's like, geez, aloo. If you don't pledge your allegiance to one or the other, that it's enough to make somebody want to support Vivek Ramaswamy just to stay out of the fray. But we're not going to do that, ladies and gentlemen, because we've already thrown in for Donald John Trump. And there's a lot of crap being thrown around, and we're going to be addressing a lot of that on the program today. But I want to start with a couple of stories, and one of them I just find fascinating. It involves the boycotts of Bud Light and Anheuser-Busch, and this is really just staggering. So, first of all, I will say this, good for you. Good for you, America. Now, for a very long time, I have been opposed to boycotts. But I'm beginning to rethink that, and I want to explain my reasoning why. Because, again, not everything is in stone. Sometimes you can change your opinion about stuff. So the left has been very effective at this, very effective at the boycotts. And they have been very successful at forcing organizations to embrace radical agendas. And that's what's going on here, by the way. Target and Bud Light don't know what to do because you good people, the listeners of the Todd Starnes radio program, you good people have pretty much been happy-go-lucky, right? You do you, I'll do me, and we'll all just sing zippity-doo-da, zippity-a. Oh, we can't sing that song anymore. My apologies. But that's basically our philosophy, right? I mean, this is America, live your life, run your business how you want to run it. Well, the problem with that philosophy is that now everything has been weaponized. The left, they've weaponized our public schools. The left has weaponized government. They've weaponized the deep state. They've weaponized the Justice Department. And now they're weaponizing big business. They've weaponized the military, by the way. And by they, I mean these radical alphabet activists, these sex and gender revolutionaries. I have written three books exposing a lot of this nonsense. And every time I write a book and explain to people, here's what's happening now and here's what's about to happen, the same thing. Oh, there you go again. Stearns is just blowing the smoke out the wazoo. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I, Todd Stearns, do not blow smoke out the wazoo or any other orifice on my body. I know of what I speak. We've been warning you for a very long time. I would say that our listeners have been more educated on this than any other radio program on the air today. I know we have a lot of folks that like to come to the table and they jump in, they come on our website, read our work, and then pretend it's theirs. But we've been telling you about this because we've been at the forefront of this battle for freedom and liberty and traditional American values. So anyway, people are really wondering what's going on here because Target and Bud Light have come under fierce attack by you, conservatives, you Christians in America. So much so that in some stores, Target has moved their LGBT Tuck'em clothing lines to the back of the building. Bud Light, cannot even give away their product. Nobody wants to drink Bud Light? Because no man worth his red-blooded American manliness wants to be seen walking down the street drinking a Bud Light. Because people might think he's a little hoo-hoo, you know what I mean? So nobody's going to do that. The company's going to go out of business. Target, that's on you ladies. So the men are taking care of Bud Light. The ladies are just now starting to engage with Target. Or, as it's known in Germantown, Tennessee, Target. But I suspect you ladies of America are about to send Target a message as well. So get this, Fox Business now reporting that the marketing decisions by Target and Bud Light to embrace the radical gay agenda have literally cost stockholders $28 billion. $28 billion. It's unbelievable. And it's only going to get worse. Now, I will say this, that if you are of the LGBTQIA+ or whatever persuasion, and you support Target, then by all means, go and shop. But the question is this, and it's a very simple question. Will Target be able to survive? Will they be able to pay the salaries of their 450,000 employees, border to border, coast to coast, across a fruited plain? Will they be able to do that with only the shoppers coming out of the alphabet activist movement? I don't think they can, because there aren't that many. Oh, I know they want you to believe that 9 out of 10 people are LGBT or whatever, but we all know that's not true, right? I mean, right? So what's going on here? You know, I got a text message from one of our good friends last night, and they were really confused by this, or sort of confounded, because we all see it, right? Anheuser-Busch is out there, and do you know what Anheuser-Busch has done? Instead of saying, folks, and this is all they had to do, they could have produced a commercial. Look, keep the Clydesdales in the barn. Just come out, the owner of the company, come out and say, you know what, folks, we screwed up. We stepped in it. We stepped in it big time. And we want to apologize. And we know that we've got to earn back your trust. We've got to earn back your business. And we're going to do whatever we can to do that. And we hope you'll give us a second chance. And say, that's all you have to do is go out there and just be honest with folks. But instead of doing that, in the face of their entire company about to explode and implode, Anheuser-Busch is going out there and announcing that they're going to be supporting all of these massive gay pride celebrations across the fruited plain. That was a faux pas, fruited plain. So instead of backing down, they're doubling down. And people are saying, well, Todd, what's going on here? Why would they do that? Why would Anheuser-Busch, really? Do you want the president of Anheuser-Busch to be working at the local Wawa or 7-Eleven or dare I say it, Buc-ee's? Got to try the beaver nuggets, by the way. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying these people are terrified of something. They're terrified. They want to do the right thing, but they're too scared to do the right thing. And I want to explain why. Because people are saying, we don't get it. Their entire company is going to implode. They want to drive away all of their good church-going Christian drinkers and shoppers. What's going on here? I'm going to tell you what's going on. There's a group called the Human Rights Campaign. It is the nation's largest gay rights organization. They are powerful and they are well-funded, and they will destroy anyone who stands opposed to their agenda. If you remember President Biden, when he was running for office, he gave a speech to the Human Rights Campaign, and he called out all of you Christians, you evangelicals in the audience, and called you the dregs of society. So if you, and by dregs of society, he was talking about all of you people that believe marriage is between a man and a woman. Now, on this program, I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. But I also believe this is America, and you can live your life however you want to live your life. But that does not allow you to redefine what God already defined. But the Supreme Court did. This is America. You live your life. You do you. But the problem is, it's not you doing you anymore. They want us to do you. And I don't want to do you or anybody else. Just bear with me. It's a Friday. So the Human Rights Campaign, they are incredibly funded, and it's because of the Hollywood activists, the Hollywood stars. So ultimately, all of you good Christian people out there, when you go to shop at Target, when you go drink Bud Light, when you go to and watch a TV show, like remember the very popular TV show years ago, Glee? It made millions and millions and millions of dollars. When you watch all of those programs, you are investing and you are making an in-kind contribution to the Human Rights Campaign. That's what's going on here. So that's why they're powerful and that's why they're well-funded. They, by the way, they even targeted me. Your friendly neighborhood affable host. Because they hate anybody who will dare stand in their way. Now, for me, I get it from everybody because we have ultra conservative people. Todd, how can you tell people they should live their life how they want to live their life? Because it's the Constitution. We're not a theocracy. Seriously, come on, folks. Read your Constitution. So basically, the Human Rights Campaign is trying to bully these companies. And how do they do it? It's a brilliant strategy. They've created something called a Corporate Equality Index. So this index determines whether or not your company supports transgender and queer employees. And they have a list. It is basically an extortion racket. Look, Al Sharpton does the same thing. He'll call up a company and he'll say, you either give us money or we're going to come and boycott you and call you a bunch of racist. I mean, that's really what it is. In this instance, they're saying, you're either going to give us money or we're going to call you a bunch of homophobic, trans-hating bigots. All right, if that's it. So that's what's going on here. And they are so terrified. Anheuser-Busch and Target, they are so terrified of offending the Human Rights Campaign that even if it means they will go out of business, they would rather go out of business than offend these radical gay, lesbian, transgender domestic terrorist. Oh yeah, no. That's not a faux pas. That is absolutely what they are. They terrorize people. They are an evil bunch, and I don't mind calling them out on this radio program. Shame on you. So anyway, all that to say, we need to quadruple down on the boycotts, and we've got to start sending these people a message. By the way, oh, and I know this is hard, and I hear from ladies, but Todd, Chip and Joanna Gaines, they've got their new summer line coming out, and it's exclusive at Target right now, and we have to have those wonderful scented candles like tobacco juice or whatever. I know, I get it, but you got to go shop somewhere else. But Todd, we're taking the kids to Disney World, and we've been saving up, and we're taking our grandkids down. It cost us $120,000, but we're really excited about going to Disney World and riding the rides and eating the really expensive food that has no flavor. And Todd, you know what? I get it. I really sympathize with you. Don't support this crap. Don't go to Disney. It really is that simple, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, we're gonna take your calls on this. My hat is off to our good friend Pastor Paul Chappell, who is a huge sports nut, by the way. Lancaster Baptist Church in California, a massive mega church, president of West Coast Baptist College. And they have spent thousands and thousands of dollars sending the college kids and the church. They do the events at Dodger Stadium. And Pastor Chappell wrote him a letter. We got it up on our website, toddstearns.com, and said, you know what? You honor these radical transgender perverts, the nuns. We're never, ever going to step foot inside Dodger Stadium ever again. They're sports fans, but they also have values. So my question to you is, what's more important, having a good time on the rides at Disney or standing firm in your beliefs, getting a good discount at Target or standing up for what you believe in? What's more important? 844-747-8868. By the way, this is Open Line Friday, so we're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about today. Lines officially open. We're going to the phones coming up next.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products. Everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS. And use the promo code STARNS or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNS.
Want to know how crazy it's getting out there, ladies and gentlemen? This is pretty brilliant. North Hollywood, California. Yeah, that North Hollywood, California. Parents are now boycotting a school district's gay pride assembly. The parents are telling everybody, keep your kids at home. So this is not at the high school. This is actually a gay pride festival at the elementary school there in North Hollywood, California. Dozens of parents are just enraged. They say the material is not appropriate for their kids. Again, we're not talking about the Bastion of the Bible Belt here. We're talking about Southern California Hollywood. Students will be required to watch. This is, by the way, kindergartners will be forced to watch a video where it says some kids have two mommies, some have two daddies, and is causing outrage even among the leftists in Hollywood. What does that tell you? All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Let's start in West Tennessee. Our newest affiliate, WTJS, B, joins us. B, what's on your mind?
Todd, mega dittos on the entire monologue. I couldn't agree more. To me, this all comes from the puppet masters push from the top down, the gender confusion, whether it's Target, Anheuser-Busch, or whatever. And from my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, the Baphomet, which is the idol of people who worship the devil, Luciferians, I mean, I've looked a lot of this stuff up, the Baphomet that they worship, that the statues they try to get put up, it was both genders, right? I'm fairly certain the Baphomet is both genders.
Okay.
That, to me, explains why they push all this gender identity confusion on our kids, because this is good versus evil. It's very clear. This is devil versus God. You know what I'm saying? So the Baphomet, which they worship, is both genders, is transgender. So whether these people on the very low levels know it or not, they're just pawns. But the people at the very top, they truly do worship Satan, Lucifer, whatever. But that explains why all these companies, the NBA, the NFL, these big corporations get pushed to push all this stuff, and they target our kids. we got to wake up and realize evil is out there and it's real.
And be the reason why they're doing this. And keep in mind, it was originally at the college level, and they said, no, we got to do the high school. Then it was middle school, then grade school. Now we're talking preschool and kindergarten. And the reason why is this is not natural behavior. So this is a learned behavior, and that's why they have to start so young. And you're going to start seeing parents, and we've already started to see these reports surface where if you're a parent and you don't support the transgender ism of your child, then they could take your child away from you. Do you see where all this is going here, folks? B, thanks for the call. 844-747-8868. This is Open Line Friday. We'll be right back with your calls on the Todd Starnes Show. Well, I finally had to cut back on the barbecue and the sweet tea, and now I'm starting to lose weight thanks to a great new product called Calitrin. Now, Calitrin contains an amino acid called glycine, which increases serotonin levels, and that makes me sleep better at night, and it also helps me lose weight. It is safe and natural, better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and believe it or not, glowing skin. And who doesn't like glowing skin? Calitrin is good for you. You're giving your body back what it needs. Calitrin is not a quick fix, but it is a long-term solution for you to take the weight off and keep it off. And get this, it's 100% safe. So even if you're on medications, there are no drugs or stimulants, and that's what makes Calitrin so different. So give them a call right now. Do what I did, 833-TOP-LOSS, or log on to toploss.com and use the promo code Todd. That's 833-TOP-LOSS, promo code Todd. All right. Well, hello, everybody. Hope you're doing great. A lot of people traveling today, Memorial Day weekend. And we also want to honor those in our listening audience who may have lost a loved one serving in the armed forces. And if that is you, we would love to hear about your loved one. Give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Tomorrow, I'm heading over to the West Tennessee Veterans Cemetery. We're going to be putting, 28,000 American flags on the graves of our fallen heroes. And there are going to be a lot of people out there doing that. Scouts, Trail Life USA, I'm sure, will be out there. And I'm certain the same thing's happening in military cemeteries all over America. Give them a call. See if you can bring the family down. You can volunteer. You know, one of the important things, and this is so vitally important if you have kids or grandkids, this is one of those holidays where, you know what, it's okay to go out and grill a burger or a hot dog or have a picnic. Tonight, if you're in Memphis, Tennessee, we'd love for you to join us at the Overton Shell, the Bellevue Baptist Orchestra doing a Pops concert under the stars. It's going to be a wonderful night. Those are things we're able to do. We're able to celebrate because of the men and women who sacrificed their lives so that we could be free. So what? Yeah, eat the hot dog and the hamburger. But you know what? Bring the kids to the cemetery. Tell them about the history of this country and the legacy of the men and the women who fought and died to keep us free. On Monday, Memorial Day, there are going to be services all over the country. I'll be speaking at one in Arlington, Tennessee. Go out and be a part and bring your kids so they can understand America. It's, folks, the schools aren't going to do it. We've got to do it ourselves. And what a great opportunity to provide those lessons. All right, let's get to the phones. This is Open Line Friday, and a lot of folks wanting to weigh in. Orlando in Georgia. Orlando, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I was doing the open mic, and I wanted to weigh in on the difference of the police and a counselor. They're opening that up in every state. It seems like one state's been like that for over 10 years. But I look at that, and let me know if I'm right or wrong, but I look at that as wasteful money within the government to have a counselor to ride with a police officer. And another thing is the target thing. You know, the gay community, These people are damaged. They have been hurt or damaged by a loved one in their family or their mother or father dating someone that just got out of prison and they molested that child. So therefore, they are actually living that life of torment that they've done had to deal with already. So the counseling part with the police, I think the counselors need, these people need to go see counseling.
Well, I don't, I'm not going to profess to know everything about anything. And, you know, my philosophy has always been, Orlando, this is America. You get to live your life how you want to live your life.
That's
I
right.
may not support
That's
it, right. But again, I can't say what you said. I cannot affirm what you just said because I don't know. I don't know why people, you know, I just don't know. All I know is what I believe personally. And
yes,
that's something.
We're both old school and I come from the old school community myself. And it's just something I just don't care to live that life no more than anyone else that's standing in that same box.
But Orlando, I will say this, when you're going in and again, when you're exposing 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds to transgender, these drag queens, that's a problem. And that tells me that this is, they're trying to force something unnatural on these children and they're playing with the minds.
Yes, and I feel like that's another form of abuse. I mean,
no doubt about it.
And yet they tried to control the government to say, oh, well, you know, we can't curse around our children. We can't smoke in front of our kids. We can't drink. We can't do all of these things. But what are you doing? You're advertising it now on TV, and then yet you got clothing for children that's 3 years old. I mean, come on.
That's it. Orlando, we got a lot of folks wanting to weigh in, and I appreciate your thoughts and your comments. Let's go to Jerry the Liberal in Wisconsin. Jerry, guess what's happening next year? Oh, I know you're so excited.
Oh, yeah, it's the convention.
The Republicans are coming to town, Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to have some Republicans in Milwaukee because we have so few of them. So it would be a change.
You're going to love us. We pay our bills. We tip well.
Yeah.
We go to church. Jerry, what's going on, Jerry?
Okay, to disagree with you. Okay, I don't agree maybe with every apparel item sold at Target. I don't agree with everything. I mean, if you take a child, especially a young child, to maybe like, you know, like a drag story hour. It depends. It depends on a lot of things. But overall, what gay people and transgender people are, they're just trying to celebrate who they are. This is who they are. This is what they are. So nobody's trying to boycott Christian apparel sold at Target or whatever. If someone wants to buy a Christian merchandise, I don't care. I mean, atheists, as you know, I don't care. That's your choice. I don't want to get involved. That's your choice. But there's people who are trying to go after people because they're gay and lesbian and they're buying this merchandise. Not even the worst, just saying gay pride. I mean, if you're proud to be gay, I don't know why that's considered so offensive to some people, but they consider that offensive to their religion that there's gay people who are proud to be gay. I find that strange, that the idea there's a God who cares about someone being gay. To me, that's very weird.
You see, I don't think that's it, Jerry. Maybe we have listeners who will call in and explain why they are boycotting Target. I think the issue is they're trying to force this on the kids. The only complaints I've heard have been about the transgender onesies and the bathing suits meant for small children to tuck their private parts. That's to me. And again, if Target wants to sell this and they think there's a market for it, then have at it. But there is going to be a price to pay. And the other part of that, I don't think they sell Christian apparel at Target. I may be mistaken here.
No, I just went on to see if they Target sold. I don't know about apparel, but they sell Christian merch signs or whatever. And I don't care. Now, again, I don't care. Maybe not all the merchandise, like the transgender merchandise. But if some 12-year-old transgender boy who was a biological girl wants to wear something that just flattens her chest, it's not my problem. That's the way she is. I'm not going to get upset at Target if that's what she wants to buy. That is who, or she, you know, she is now a boy because that's the way her nature.
Jerry, we're going to leave it there. We're going to open up the lines and let people weigh in here. But I honestly think the reason why Target is the focus of this boycott is because they're targeting the kids. May I just ask a question here? And I know this is probably going to offend somebody out there, but when I was living in Brooklyn, New York, when I was working at Fox News, we had a gay pride parade that came through the neighborhood, and it was pretty large parade. So anyway, it was like right outside my window of my brownstone. So you see everything. And I just made an observation, and this observation got me in trouble with the people over at Fox, because I pointed out that there were a good many people that were dressed in buttless leather chaps, and it was particularly hot, and I was sort of worried about chafing. I mean, I was just trying to be neighborly. I wasn't trying to, you know, poke fun at anybody. I said, you know, are they concerned about chafing when you're marching down the streets in the heat of the summertime in New York City wearing buttless leather chaps? And I got so much hate mail over that. But it's, first of all, I'm just a genuine person. I don't want anybody to be chafed, and especially in the nether regions. That's very uncomfortable, especially in the summertime. But I think what they were really upset with is, you know, they advertise these gay pride parades as family-friendly events. And by and large, they are not family-friendly. And our friends over at Gays Against Groomers, and again, these are members of the LGBT community, Gays Against Groomers, sent a video over. And the video shows one of these gay pride parades, and it shows grown men dressed in, well, you kind of wish they were wearing buttless leather chaps, because they're dressed as puppy dogs on chains, and they're being marched around on chains in leather thongs. And they're being whipped and spanked as they encourage children to pet the human dogs on their head. Now, I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, is that representative of pride in America? Is that what pride is? This is not Todd Starn sharing this information. This is the Gays Against Groomers sharing this information. I'm just asking. Let's go to Dawn in Morehead City, North Carolina. Hi, Dawn. What's happening?
Hello. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for asking, Dawn.
So, I know this is kind of off topic, but I am so irritated I could scream. Some of these big box stores have gotten so rude and disrespectful towards the older customers, especially, that it's hard to even walk into one.
Well, tell me what happened, Dawn. And again, this is Open Line Friday, so whatever's on your mind here, but what happened?
I went into a big box store. I saw a bracelet I wanted. I said, I want that bracelet. And she says, I'm sorry, I can't sell it to you because the lock is broken and we cannot get into the case. I spoke to the store manager. I've even called corporate. It's been 6 weeks. Nothing has happened.
So there's this jewelry in a locked case that you want to buy, and you're telling me they have no way to open up the case to get you the jewelry.
That is correct.
Wow. What's the name of the store? I'm curious.
Walmart.
Oh, wow. Well, have you thought about going to another Walmart? Is there like another town nearby?
The thing is, only certain Walmarts carry the jewelry. So it's either this one or not at all. And they didn't even offer to order me a new one. I mean, they just said, well, we can't open it, so that's all we can do about it. We can't help you in any other way. They didn't offer to order me a new one. They didn't do any of that.
Wow. What about...
Yeah.
Well, what about going back to the hardware section of the Walmart and getting a hammer, and maybe they could just, you know, open up the glass case?
And that would be me in jail wearing orange.
Well, you let them do it. Yeah, you don't. Don't follow my advice. Don't follow my advice, Dawn.
Yes, sir. But it's just, you know, it just seems like with prices going up and having to check out your own groceries because they don't have enough cashiers to do it with, I mean, it seems like, you know, they would kind of make a difference some other way.
So, in other words, just going the extra mile for the customer.
Yeah, what happened to let's please the customer, let's bring the money into the store, let's make the community a better place because we're the place to come to? You know, whatever happened to that?
It's a great question, Dawn. All right. Well, good luck to you. And let's just hope that maybe somebody just casually walking by and accidentally drops an anvil or something and cracks the case. Good luck to you, Dawn. Come on, Dieter. That was good advice.
That was terrible advice, Todd. You're going to end this woman up in the clanker.
Well, I'm not sending her bail money, so that is probably, it's a tough economy right now.
I mean, she raised a great point. I mean, you go to Target or Walmart or any of these big stores, you don't get served anymore. You are the cashier. You have to do everything.
Oh, it's true. That's why I don't go to Walmart, and I certainly don't go to Target, but you know, now they're making you do all the self-checkout. And you don't get a discount. You don't get you know, the holiday parties, nothing. And you don't get the bonus at the end of the year.
And that's only if you're lucky enough to get one of the machines that actually works.
Oh, fair
enough.
That's
the problem.
Yeah, it's a great point. All right, folks, open line Friday. So we're happy to take whatever calls, whatever questions, whatever is a bee in your bonnet. We're gonna talk about today, 844-747-8868. Again, that's 844-747-8868. May I just tell you that I'm very excited about our good friends at Calitrin. You know, I've been doing the weight loss thing, hitting the walking trails, trying to slim down, but this is not an overnight thing, and it really can't be, because when you do that, right, you know how it is. You work hard, you exercise, you diet, and then you're off the wagon and you gain twice as much. And so I don't want that to happen. So I'm losing weight, and I'm doing it in a very methodical way thanks to this product called Calitrin. This is a stimulant-free and drug-free weight loss pill. So it works. It's unbelievable. I take it after every my last meal of the day. And not only is it helping me lose weight, but it's also helping me sleep at night and, quite frankly, a little too much. I mean, I was sleeping 3 to 4 hours a night. Now, on average, 7 to 8 hours. And that also helps with the weight loss. And it also makes me feel good. You know, you don't want your host nodding off in the middle of a show, right? Not only that, it's also relieving joint pain. And when you hit my age, well, you need all the help you can get. But again, stimulant-free and drug-free. Now, if you'd like information, I want you to give them a call, 833-TOP-LOSS. That's 833-TOP-LOSS. You can also go online, toploss.com. That's toploss.com. And have a promo code set up for our listeners. So if you decide, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot. It's working for Todd Starnes. Maybe it'll work for me. Well, all you have to do is use the promo code Todd, and they're going to give you a really incredible discount. Great people to work with. Again, 833-TOP-LOSS. We'll be right back. All right, let's get right to the phones. Gene in Iowa has a self-checkout story. Can't wait to hear this one. All right, Gene, what you got for us?
Well, we have two grocery stores in a little town of about 3,500 people. I don't know if I can mention names or not. But
sure, go ahead.
Well, one is a Hy-Vee, called Hy-Vee, and the other one is called Fairway.
All right.
Hy-Vee decided they were going to do the self-checkout thing. And Hy-Vee is a ghost town. And Fairway has had to hire almost double their staff to keep up with the people that will come there.
Is that right?
Just dead in the water. Yep.
Now, Gene, given the choice, would you do the self-checkout or would you rather have somebody check you out?
Oh, I want somebody there. Me and computers don't get along.
No, I hear, you know what gets me, Gene? You're at the self-checkout and you're getting, say cough syrup. And all of a sudden the alarms go off and the red light and then the person has come over, the clerk. And by the time it's all said and done, it's so much easier just to let somebody else do it for you. I mean, having to show your ID, the whole nine yards, it drives me bonkers.
Well, yeah, it's outrageous. They got somebody hired standing there looking at the cash register. Anyway.
Gene, I'm with you. And I think it sounds like the people in Iowa have already made the decision that they want to go to a grocery store chain where there are actual human beings there. And by the way, Gene, thanks for the call. I don't want to call out any grocery stores, but I shop at Kroger. Do you know that we now have the long conveyor belts where you actually start, where you have to do the self-checkout? And get this, you still have to pay more. We'll be right back, America.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
You know, it takes a lot to surprise me, and I am surprised, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Trust you are doing well today. Now, there are a lot of advocacy groups out there across America. I mean, you've got the one for the no, you can't call them midgets anymore, Ben. No, you have to call them little people, or I don't know, vertically challenged. But you can you can't call them the M word. That's inappropriate. The M word. You've got the advocacy groups. If you're Irish American or Italian American or Muslim American, it goes down the list. Anyway, I had no idea until a few moments ago that there is something called the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance. That's like the NAAFA. Anyway, it's apparently a very large organization with big influence. Huge, some might say. Stop, Dieter. Stop it. So New York City has just signed legislation. So this is the law of the land, that you are no longer allowed to ban people who are fat or of a certain height. So if, let's say you're an employer and you're, let's just say, for the sake of the argument, and I don't want all you Baptist church ladies calling and hollering at me, but this is just a hypothetical. Let's say, Ben Dieter, turn your microphone on. I'm going to put this all on you. I've got enough hate mail this week. So let's just say Ben Dieter owns the Hooters in Times Square. A lovely establishment. They have great chicken wings.
I hear they're great.
Among other chicken parts. And so anyway, you've got the, so you're the owner of a Hooters. And, you know, the Hooters waitresses, the wait staff, they're scantily clad, if I recall correctly. Now, Ben Dieter, if you are hiring for a Hooters, what are you going to be hiring? What kind of an employee is the perfect employee at the Hooters?
This is terrible. I think I would go, do they call them 10s? I would shoot for a 10.
You would want attractive.
Long legs, good thighs.
And hello, Dolly.
And hello, Dolly.
All right. Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
I'm just being honest.
Yeah, we're just being honest.
Yeah.
So we're just talking, you and me.
Just us.
Oh, ma'am, just a moment here. Just hold on a minute. All the millions of people listening, just hang tight for just a moment. So anyway, so you're right. So you would hire a certain person. You would not hire Todd Starnes to work at Hooters, right? That would not work out well.
You wouldn't make it past the first interview.
I wouldn't make the cut. I would go down during the swimsuit competition. I'm just saying. So now as a result of this law, the next time you go to Hooters in Times Square, you could have a 450-pound gal serving you your hot wings.
That's going to go over well for their patrons, right?
I'm just speechless.
This is the new law. You know, whatever happened to legislating sanity? When was it a good thing to just be morbidly obese and not be champion? In fact, you must be. It's insane, Todd.
They say you're born that way, but I'm fairly certain you cannot pass people that large. I'm just saying, all you moms out there, you're not born that way. You eat yourself that way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
And it's not your big bones.
So
I always say, oh, I have big bones.
What's that song, Fat Bottomed Girl? Yeah. All right. So so now the chairperson of the National Association to Advance Fat people is speaking out about this, and we have some audio.
The National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance and a co-founder of the Campaign for Size Freedom. I am so thrilled at the example that New York City is setting today. We all know, y'all know, New York is the global city. And this will ripple across the globe in terms of showing to people all over the world that discrimination against people based on their body size is wrong and is something that we can change. We can't legislate attitudes, but we can do what we everything that's in our power to ensure that people are treated equally and that people have equal opportunity under the law. So thank you, everyone who worked on this bill and everyone who supports this work across the country and all over the world.
Oh, my gosh. She's out of breath just talking. I mean,
she sounds like she has pneumonia.
It's terrible. So a couple of things here. First of all, she said that this is all about size freedom. All right, let me say something about size freedom for a moment. Have you seen the skinny jeans that back in the day? I'm not sure if people still wear the skinny jeans, Dieter, but back when I was living in New York City, we had this people group called the Millennials or the Hipsters, and they would wear the skinny jeans. And by and large, they were liberal, primarily because the skinny jeans cut off the flow of blood to their brains. So you got the people wandering around the streets in the skinny jeans. Here's something very interesting about this concept. The people in those jeans happen to be skinny. So All these folks preaching size freedom, are they going to go down to the skinny jeans store in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, New York? And are they going to cry discrimination because they can't wiggle their big toe into a pair of skinny jeans? Is that what's going to happen? Sorry.
They started making leggings. This is why we now are stuck with leggings, because it fits everyone. Now, I'm not saying everybody should be in leggings, but I think you're right.
I'm well-rounded myself, but I'm not asking for special rights. It seems to me that the whole point of being that large is you want to lose weight, right, to fit back into regular society or at least size plus or XL.
No, they want to advance fatness. That's what they're calling themselves.
I mean, you've got people now demanding, like, well, I want a 5XL shirt. Okay, well, you know, that's going to cost you more money. Well, why is it costing me more money? That's discrimination. No, because we have to use more cloth, sir. I mean,
that's discrimination.
But now they're saying that's discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, now, I get it. But again, look, all right, let me ask you, this is a legitimate question here. Wow, we're going to get so much hate mail this week. So let's talk about the height size of this, all right? What was the song we sang in Sunday school, Deep and Wide? Deep and, well, really wide. So let's just say you've got somebody who is, 4 foot one, all right? You've got a guy, 4 foot one. He wants to try out for the Brooklyn Nets, right? He wants to play basketball down at Barclays Center in downtown Brooklyn. And he wants to join the basketball team, and he doesn't make the cut. You know why, Ben Dieter? Because he's about 3 inches shy of being a little person, an Oompa Loompa. Is there anything wrong with that? No, not at all. But what I'm saying is, would the Nets be required to put that guy on the basketball team?
Well, if it looks like they're going to be following this legislation, it would appear that they would have to. Otherwise, they might be sued for discrimination. It's insanity.
Welcome to New York City. What was it, a couple of weeks ago? They had that large Marge gal who wanted to sue the airline, right? She actually wanted them to take out seats so she could walk down the aisle without having to shovel on the side.
And that's the passenger talk, but now you have to think about the flight attendants, the chicks wanting to work at American Airlines. I mean, you have to be a certain size to be able to fit your way down the center aisle with that cart. But under this state law, they're going to be taking out everybody's trays, dishes. It's going to be a bloodbath.
It's bad, you know, when the further up the plane they go, the plane starts to dip down a little bit. You know, it's like maybe lay off the fried chicken.
Yeah.
It's just Switch to grilled.
Oh, boy. Your phone lines are blowing up. I've got to answer some phone calls.
I'm just saying here, folks, and this is nothing against fat people at all, because I happen to be one. But again, I'm not out there asking for special rights and privileges. But you know what's even worse, Ben Dieter, is, and we'll go to break on this, and then we'll go to the phone lines. Imagine being one of those little people. Imagine being an Oompa Loompa on American Airlines, and somebody from the National Association to Advance Fat People actually sits on you by mistake. That would be difficult. It would. All right, we got to take a break. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Where has common sense gone? We've gone slap crazy, America. We'll be right back.
I'm a person that believes in health. So when you talk about not discriminating against someone because of their body type, it's not fighting against obesity. It's just being fair. And so I think this is the right thing to do. We're going to continue to talk about our progressive health agenda. And science has shown that body type is not a connection to if you're healthy or unhealthy. And I think that's a misnomer that we are really dispelling.
All right. Well, if that's the case, Mr. Mayor, thank you, Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, then why not go ahead and outlaw every weight loss organization in the city? I mean, if you're telling us that the size of your body, that being obese does not impact your health, go ahead and just shut down all the athletic facilities. Tell Jenny Craig, see you later. Weight Watchers, you're out of here. I mean, if in fact that's what this is really all about. People have lost their ever-loving minds, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's go to the phones. Open Line Friday. Let's go to Bill in Statesville, North Carolina. WSIC, our great affiliate there. Hi, Bill. What's on your mind today?
Todd, thank you for allowing me on your front porch today.
Well, you're kind to say it, Bill. Pull up a chair and let's talk.
Freedom is not free, and it comes with a cost. And I'm remembering that today, and I try to remember that each and every day that I live. But especially this weekend, we all need to remember it. And those woke people, they're free to do what they want to do, just like the rest of us. But where I draw the line is they're coming after our babies, my grandbabies. And now, that being said, I'm going to go back on my front porch and exercise my Second Amendment.
Well, there
just
you
putting that out there,
Bill. Well, no, I'm glad you did, and you're right. I mean, we live in a nation where so many people have no idea about our history. They don't understand the sacrifices that were made, and a lot of that is our own fault because we took our eyes off the local public schools. And you know, they raised a generation of kids to hate America. So good for you, sir. And you hang tight on that porch with your Second Amendment rights in tow. Appreciate that call, Bill. Let's go to Steve in Arkansas. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I've got a little different angle on this boycotting thing of businesses and stuff than most people are talking. Most people are talking about the financial support and this and that, and making them pay financially. Here's an angle I have on it. Why any company that just blatantly advertises their sexuality and supports this mental illness of transgender, whatever, LGBTQ, whatever, they're putting it out of a welcome mat for the mentally ill. Why do I want to voluntarily put myself or my family in an area where I may have to have an unpleasant confrontation that's going to end up bad for both of us, me or the mentally ill person, and when I don't have to? When Target opened up their restrooms to mentally ill men, I told my wife that day, don't ever go to a Target again. What you're doing is you're going down there and putting yourself in a situation that you may get traumatically assaulted or hurt. And then I also have to deal with it too, because then I've got to go down there and try to straighten out what's happened.
You know, Steve, to your point, and a lot of people gave American Family Association grief, but they launched that national boycott against Target back when they opened up the bathrooms and the dressing rooms to men who wanted to identify as women. And one of the fascinating stories about all of that, the takeaways, there were many, many accounts, police reports, and local news covered these stories, the national news did not, of men being arrested at Target stores, to your point, doing horrible things with young girls and to young girls. So, Steve, I get exactly where you're coming from. Appreciate that call. Let's go to Jerry in Iowa. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind today?
Howdy, Brother Todd. I'm in Jeff Stein's back 40 here in Iowa.
So radio station KXEL, great blowtorch of freedom there in the heartland.
Yeah, it really is. I'm happy with them, except for without like their Fox News radio. But the reason why I called is so I want to say that, everyone, please remember Memorial Day, too, for what it really is. You know, do something. So, but my topic I wanted to ask you about is, so I'm thinking that it's not the politicians that are destroying America. It's not. It's the non-political masses. And I wrote this down yesterday. I wrote, those who ignore minding the store. So the Democrats are proactively installing immorality everywhere in politics and corporations. But most of the rest of us, we're allowing immorality. We're complicit with it. We don't rock the boat. My friends and close relatives, most don't like what the left is doing, but they're very complicit. So this is not to be laid at the feet of politicians. I mean, it takes more than voting every 4 years. It takes taking persuading your little world of people. Mine, I'm not going to be a politician. But I take a stand. I actually bring up topics. So I'm just want to say, like, why don't we all decide who to pay and where to shop? It's like working 40 hours a week to pay woke companies to pervert and wreck our country.
Well, so that's one of the reasons we have Timothy Plan on, our good friend Art Alley, because a lot of people are doing that with their investments. You know, they have a 401k, maybe they're investing in the stock market, and a lot of these folks are actually investing in companies that are supporting this nonsense. So, Jerry, it really is, I think you really gave us something to think about here. But ultimately, we've got to be minding the store. You know, we do that on the flagship station, KWAM in Memphis, all the time. And I know it drives a lot of our Republican lawmakers nuts. But we don't mean anything bad by it. We just expect our elected leaders to do what they say they're going to do and don't behave like, I don't know, Democrats? Seriously. All right. So, Jerry, appreciate that call. Folks, again, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. Hang tight. We're going to get to your calls. Coming up, we're excited to have Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri joining us. He's got a brand new book out about what it means to be a man in America. You're going to want to stick around for this great conversation. By the way, we will have a link to the book on our live show blog. Our telephone number, again, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Josh Hawley, Manhood, the Masculine Virtues America Needs. That's going to be a fun conversation. We'll be right back, America. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Happy to have you with us. And again, we've got some exciting news coming up about a partnership with Newsmax TV. We'll be telling you more about that next week. But I'll be doing a lot of traveling between here and New York City over the next little while. So we're looking forward to those opportunities. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. There's a very important book that you need to read, and especially if you are a man in America. The name of the book, Manhood, The Masculine Virtues America Needs. The author of that book is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri. Senator, good to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And congratulations on the book. It's a tough thing to write a book, so congratulations, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope it'll be a benefit. You know, I'm a father of two little boys, which is really what inspired me to write this, and I hope it'll be of use to fathers and dads and sons alike.
Senator, I'm probably a few years older than you. I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and I remember when I was a child, they were not medicating little boys. We were sort of rough and tumble. We liked to go out and play, cowboys, Indians, cops, robbers. And it seems as though now we've got a couple of generations between us where you've got young boys who have been told there's something wrong with that kind of rambunctious behavior.
And you've seen the left act on that, just as you suggest, out in our schools for generations now, really probably about one generation, 20 years or so, where boys who are active are diagnosed with ADD or now ADHD. They are medicated. There's lots of studies and data that's been done now that have been done that show that teachers interrupt boys in their play far more frequently than girls, and we could go on and on. And I think the message that the left and the media have sent consistently is if you are a boy, there's something wrong with you. And if you are a man, you're toxic. I mean, just to be a man is to be toxic, make the world a worse place. We need to send just the opposite message to young men out there that we need you. We need you to step up. We need you to take responsibility. We need you to be fathers and husbands. And if you do that, you can transform your life and also this country.
And looking from a broader perspective, I live downriver from you guys in Memphis, and we have an epidemic of single-parent homes where the fathers are not in the homes, and you look at the violence off the charts, kids wandering around in the streets. It's so vitally important that we have a mom and especially a dad in the family, and yet society, Hollywood, the culture, they've been denigrating fathers. I mean, if you go back in the 1950s and 60s, the TV shows and the movies, dad was an important figure in the equation. Not so much now.
Well, if you listen to Hollywood and the media, what you would think is that fathers are either a malevolent influence in their kids and their wives' lives, or they're just complete idiots. I mean, that's how they're portrayed. And again, there's a lot of research on this. You look at the numbers. That's how men are portrayed. And the truth is just the opposite. If you want to deal with the epidemic of childhood violence, youth violence in this nation, put fathers into neighborhoods. If you want to solve the problem of childhood poverty in this nation, put fathers into homes. I mean, that's just the facts of the matter. We need to send the message as a society and as a culture that fathers are needed. And for young men, the most powerful, profound thing you can do with your life, if you want to have influence, you want to matter, leave a legacy, get married, have a family, dedicate yourself to sacrificing for those children.
And who knew that would be some sort of a shocking thing in today's society? It's almost counterculture, Senator, what you just said.
It really is remarkable. The fact that the left would regard talk about manhood, responsible manhood, and fatherhood as hugely controversial. They attack it all the time. They've attacked this book. They absolutely hate it. It is really, really remarkable. Of course, these are the same people who say there is no such thing as men and women, that biological men should be in women's sports and vice versa. It's really crazy how far the left has gone. They've completely lost touch with reality, and they're trying to take our kids along with them for this wild ride, and we can't allow that to happen.
Senator, I was intrigued by the subtitle of your book and the specific word virtue, because how long have we been told that masculinity is toxic? But you're saying that there are virtues there.
Absolutely. Masculinity is a great thing, just like femininity is. And I go back to the Bible and in the book, I tell a lot of stories from the Bible, try to look at what that tells us about what it means to be a man. And it really is that the journey of manhood is a journey of character, where we form these virtues in our souls, in our characters, the virtues of husbands and fathers, of warriors and builders. And I talk about that by telling stories from the Bible, from my life, from American history. And I think the call there is for young men, and men of all ages, listen, if you want to change your life, change your character. If you want to change this nation, form your character. Become a man of strength. Become a man of virtue. And there's no limit to what you can do.
You look at where we are in society where there aren't, you know, there really are no uniquely boy things. I mean, even the Boy Scouts of America pretty much jettisoned their value system, now embracing girls or boys who think, or girls who think they are boys. How important is it in the development of a young boy into becoming a young man? How important are those things to the development of that child?
Really, really important. You know, these rites of initiation. Dr. Jordan Peterson was telling me just the other day this is his words. I think they're good. That, you know, nature initiates women, but culture has to initiate men. You know, to get a boy to become a man and take on the character of a man, there needs to be those rites of passage. For me, that was sports, and I end up writing a lot in my book about my own experience with sports and the people who coach me, because that was sort of that was a formative experience for me. But whether it's sports, whether it's some form of scouting, whether it's hunting, and of course, service. I mean, for many men, joining the military at a young age, that becomes a profound and powerful rite of passage, and one that's such a huge benefit to our society. Whatever it may be, I think it's so important to find those places for boys. And I just say to the men out there, you can be part of that. You know, something we need is for mature men and older men to mentor kids, coach. Volunteer your time. Certainly, if you've got sons, I mean, give them your time and attention. And that the generations, the interplay of the generations there is so, so critical.
I think, you know, and spending time with your sons, helping, you know, instead of going out and changing the oil in the car, take your son with you and show him how to do that. Going out there and helping others. You know, our church here in Memphis, they do something pretty cool for the single moms and the widows. They'll just get a bunch of the guys together and, you know, you can bring your car. They'll change the tires, you know, whatever needs to be done. You know, those opportunities of service, I think, to show those young boys, this is what it means to be a man.
Absolutely. And seeing those male role models, seeing dad, seeing grandpa, seeing neighbors, seeing folks, seeing the pastor, that is so critical. You know, one study that I heard quoted recently said boys need 5 healthy male role models in addition to their father optimally. You know, see, they need a community of men. And I think that's something that in this country we find increasingly difficult. And again, our culture and certainly the left and the media pull against this. They sort of atomize men. But the more time that men can spend together with their sons, camping, serving, hunting, you know, whatever it may be, but where you're modeling for those boys what it looks like to be a strong, virtuous man, boy, that's the ticket.
You look, Senator, and by the way, folks, Senator Josh Hawley joining us today, this very important book you need to read called Manhood, the Masculine Virtues America Needs. Senator, you look at what's happening in the military right now, and it just really troubles me. We're on the verge of armed conflicts on a significant level, and we've had so many of your colleagues on this program saying, we don't think we're ready to fight. How important is your book to the future of the country when it comes to things like, again, bolstering up our military and raising up the next generation of men in America?
Well, you know, I've got, as we speak, I've got family members who are proudly wearing the uniform of the United States and serving, and I'm sure proud of them. And just a shout out to one of them, my cousin Jonathan Hawley, who right now is overseas serving. And, you know, what I hear from them is that they are incredibly dismayed by, and the enlisted men, my cousins were enlisted guys, that the enlisted men in particular, they look at what the brass is doing. They look at the ideology that they're trying to shove down these guys' throats and gals' throats, and they just can't believe it. I mean, to have drag queens being promoted as spokespersons for, I think it was the Navy in that case, to have the critical race theory on the reading list to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. I mean, what in the world? The left is trying to use the military as their social experiment. And once again, their social experiment is an attack on men and an attack on women. It's just the denial of gender. It's insanity. We need to stop it and to speak the truth that men are men. They cannot be women or vice versa. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to be a man. It's a good thing to be a woman. And we need to stop using the military and the other institutions of society to try and indoctrinate people into the opposite. It's going to be catastrophic. And that's one of the reasons, Todd, that morale is low and recruitment is low. The military can't hit the recruitment numbers. They say, we don't know why. Everybody knows why. It's because people are demoralized with the ideology they're being force-fed.
Senator, one final question here. And by the way, I don't know if you knew this, but you know, the Washington Post, they didn't like your book very much. I don't know if you knew that, but...
I can't imagine.
But, yeah, go figure. What is the first step? I mean, obviously, a dad reads this book. What is something that a dad can do right out of the gate to start building that those virtues in his son?
Spend time. I think time is the key thing. You know, look, I'm a father myself, as I said. I've got two boys who are 10 and 8, and I've got a baby girl. And I just think, number one, Dad, spend time with your boys. You know, and listen, as fathers, I think we're often aware of the fact we're not as good at it as we could be. You know, I talk to so many dads. This is true for me, too. It's like, oh, man, I messed that up, or I wish I would have said that differently, or I'm afraid I'll screw it up. I just think, you know what, we've got to overcome that. There's grace for that. Spending time with our boys is the number one thing. And then initiate them into things you love to do. You know, what is it that you love to do? Do you love to hunt? Teach them to do that. Do you love to work on cars? Teach them to do that. You love sports? Teach them. It doesn't matter. You know, hopefully, above all, you'll teach them to love the Lord and read the Bible. But, you know, teach them, bring them into your life. But I just think you can't go wrong by spending time with your sons and daughters. But as we're thinking about boys here, particularly with your young guys.
I love it. Well, Senator, we really appreciate you taking time on this Memorial Day weekend to join us, and congratulations on the new book.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Senator Josh Hawley from the great state of Missouri, everybody. The name of the book, Manhood, The Masculine Virtues America Needs, and you can get a copy really wherever you buy your book. And get one for your son, get one for if you have an uncle, cousin. Every man in America needs to read this book. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going right to the phones, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's get to the phones on this open line Friday. Let's go to Collierville, Tennessee. Chris, listening to us on KWAM, our great flagship station. Chris, what's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. Look, this World Health Organization treaty concerning pandemics and things like that, this thing is so dangerous, it's ridiculous, and it's really sick that the Biden administration is saying, oh, well, it's just an accord. No, it's an actual treaty. It needs to go through the Senate, okay? And it is so dangerous that it would take away the sovereignty of every citizen in the United States of America, as well as the sovereignty of the United of the United States. And there's a great website that has concise, right to the point information. It's a quick read. It lays it all out, who the players are, what the intentions are. Can I mention that website?
Real quick.
Okay. It's sovereigntycoalition.org. And it tells you exactly what's going on with this. This is the model that the Chinese Communist Party has instituted in China. It would, if you don't have the quote unquote vaccine passport, you could have a lot of things done to you. You wouldn't be able to travel. They could go to your bank account. They could cut off your funding. This is set up to control every aspect of every person's life. This is such dangerous territory. And I really wish that all the radio stations, conservative radio stations, would put a link to this website so that people can, you know, go to this, read it, share it with other people, because we are in really dangerous territory, and they are really severely pushing this agenda. And so I just wanted to get that out there. It's got to be stopped. This has to be stopped. This is the end game right here. I don't care about all this other stuff that's going on in our society right now. I think that's a ruse to cover up for this thing.
All right. Well, Chris, yeah, we got it, and we got the information there. I appreciate that call. I know Heritage Foundation has been all over this, and they are adamantly opposed to the draft of this World Health Organization pandemic treaty, which, by the way, treaties would have to be ratified through the Senate. So this is not something the Biden administration can just willy-nilly do. Let's go to Patty, WSIC is our radio affiliate there in North Carolina. Hi, Patty. What's going on?
Hey, Todd, how's my friend doing?
I'm doing well today. Thank you for asking, Patty.
I'm glad. You know what? I love you, Todd. And you know what? I'm going to say something. Great conversation with Senator Hawley. Great. You know, you're right. We need a lot of men, and we need more men. The nuclear family is out the window. Am I right?
I think you're right. I think there's an argument that could be made that it's pretty much done, kaput.
I mean, I grew up with a Sicilian father, and I'm going to tell you something. He was mean, but he taught me good how to way to live. And I was a girl, and I had a brother. But guess what? We lived really. We have very good virtues to live by, okay?
It makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to have a father in the family. I don't care, you know? And another thing I want to say, I want to make it real quick. I was watching Ron DeSantis with Eric Bowling last night, and I'm going to tell you something. It is so eerie. Ron DeSantis is a miniature Donald Trump.
Well, he's portraying himself that way, and I just want to make sure he is. I like Ron DeSantis. I just think he's been getting some pretty lousy advice, and his campaign team is not not the brightest bulbs. That's all. But, you know, we'll see. We're going to play some audio in the next hour, Patty, because, again, DeSantis going after Trump and making some accusations that simply turned out not to be true. And we've got the audio evidence to back it up. So we're going to get to that coming up in the next hour. Patty, appreciate you calling in, and thank you for being such a great supporter of this radio program. By the way, I just can't say enough great things about Newsmax. Millions of people are making the switch. After Tucker got whacked by Fox, the Eric Bowling Show shot up over 200% of the ratings, and they have a terrific lineup in prime time now. Greta Van Susteren, you got Eric Bowling, Chris Plant, Rob Schmidt, and they've got an audience. Americans are turning to Newsmax for real news you can trust. And by the way, you got to watch Eric Bowling tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, and find out why Newsmax is now America's fastest growing cable news channel. By the way, you can download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone, and you can start watching anytime. So make the switch today to Newsmax. Tell your friends you made the switch, because Newsmax is real news for real people. All right, folks, hang tight. Lines open on this Open Line Friday. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, hour three of the big show. And today is Open Line Friday. So whatever you want to talk about, whatever question you want to ask, we're going to take those calls today. Write down our telephone number, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. So an interesting back and forth over on Fox News. Julie Banderas was interviewing Mark Thiessen, the Fox News contributor and Washington Post writer. And he said that all the Republicans need to do to win elections for decades is to get Trump off the stage. So Mark Thiessen from the Washington Post, a Fox News contributor, says the best thing that can happen for the Republicans is for Trump to go away. Do you find that to be the case? Is that the right play here? 844-747-8868. Again, our telephone number on this Open Line Friday. You know, Geraldo is a moron, no doubt about that. But the guy is a patriot, and there are such things as patriotic morons. And I have to tell you a great Geraldo story. So one of the best times in New York City is when the fleet is in town, and the ships come up the harbor. They dock on the upper West Side, and up and down the Hudson River. And it's Fleet Week. And so you have a lot of sailors, a lot of military personnel wandering around town. And so anyway, Geraldo was at a restaurant the other night, and he noticed that there were a bunch of Marines in town. And so he went over to the Maitre d'. Oh, he's over at Smith & Walensky. By the way, it's a great steakhouse over on the, that's over on the east side, actually near Newsmax's new headquarters. Been there a time or two. Well, to Newsmax and Smith & Walensky. So anyway, Geraldo's over there having a steak. They have great steaks. And he summons the waiter over, and he said, "Waiter, see those guys in uniform, those Marines? I want to buy their supper." I mean, that's a pretty noble thing to do. And so the waiter leans back into Geraldo and says, "Yeah, too late. You've got about two or three other people in the restaurant that had already offered to pick up the tab." Isn't that a great story? So even in New York City, you've got some pretty awesome people in that restaurant, and they wanted to honor those Marines by picking up their dinner tab. That's pretty awesome. But Geraldo, good for you, sir. And that says a lot about your heart, and we appreciate that. Your politics, okay, it is what it is. So, but good for you, Geraldo. All right, wow, let's get to the phones here, and then we're going to play some audio from Ron DeSantis. Our good buddy Joe from LJ, Georgia, is actually vacationing in Sea Isle in Georgia. Joe, what's going on?
Todd, I'm down here at Sea Island with a lot of great patriots, and let me tell you something. I know DeSantis announced the other night, but I'm talking to people from all over the country, and I totally disagree with what Mark Thiessen said. Trump is the overwhelming favorite down here. In fact, I'd say for every 10 people I interview, I say 9 of them are for Trump and 1 of them are for DeSantis, and even some Florida people. I think that's totally wrong of Thiessen. I certainly think Trump's going to win, and I think he'll. I just saw a poll yesterday that he was beating Biden 52-47, and I think it was a Harris poll. But I think he'll win by a landslide, and I think he'll get the nomination. So I'm certainly strongly for him, and about everybody I'm talking to down here in Sea Island from all over the country, they're for him. I'd say 80-90% of them support Donald Trump. Now, so I just wanted to report that to
Joe,
you.
Joe, that's good to hear. So he's gonna landslide in Sea Island. That's good news.
Yes, sir. That's my opinion. And they love your show down here, Todd. Run into a lot of people down here that will listen to your show, and they love you, and they love your show. And I just want to say, keep up the good work, and happy Memorial Day, my friend.
Joe, happy Memorial. Now, how does Joe from LJ vacation? Are you sitting poolside with one of those drinks with the umbrella in it?
I'm not right now.
All right, well,
I just did a walk. I walk every day about 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I walk on the beach, and now I'm back home getting ready to take a shower and go to dinner later on tonight. But it's a great place. See,
oh, it's
a great
beautiful
place and a lot of fine people.
All right, Joe, tell everybody we said hello, including Mrs. Joe, and we always love hearing from you.
Thank you, Todd. Have
All
a
right.
great weekend.
Joe from LJ, Georgia, on vacation down at Sea Island. What a beautiful spot that is. Let's go to John in Kentucky, wants to weigh in on veterans affairs. Hi, John. What's on your mind today?
Hey there, Todd. Well, on the situation with that the fat person, don't worry, though. I'll grow it. Sorry, I had to say that.
Well, there you go.
Okay. I'm sorry. I had to do that dad joke for a minute. But, you know, Todd, real quick, you know, Memorial Day weekend is coming, and you know the true meaning of it because you have a heart and love for the veterans. But what I'm really ticked off about right now, these Democratic representatives are sitting in Washington and say they won't compromise on this debt ceiling, and the first person that's going to affect are our military, their families, the retirees, and the disabled veterans. And a lot of these veterans rely on that to make it through the month or just to even make a mortgage payment. And, you know, they're finger pointing towards the Republicans and that group that the conservatives, the American, I can't remember that what, you know, I'm really upset right now, but the Freedom Caucus, they're trying to blame them, but they've already said that they've already made the compromises that need to be made. And they assured the veterans and the families that they're going to still continue to get the money, but yet the Democrats will not do anything about it. And yet they're not taking the time to stay in Washington. They want to go home, and a lot of the rhinos too. You just had Josh Hawley on, and he has somebody that's deployed. They want to go over there and pay lip service to the war dead and shake hands and thank you for the service. These politicians would rather send money to the Ukraine, give illegals a great medical care, and give them the cell phone instead of taking care of our military. When it comes to rubber meets the road, Todd, that tire fell flat. And where are the service organizations? Where's the American Legion? Where are the VFWs? They're not saying anything. Are they scared they're going to lose their congressional charter? Todd, one of the things I've always noticed about you and your staff is there is a wrong that needs to be right, made a right. You do it. You call even the conservatives on the carpet when it comes to taking care of our nation's elderly and our nation's veterans, our nation's active duty, and our veterans and our disabled. So, Todd, I just want to take this moment to say thank you for what you're doing. You might not have served in the military, but you, seriously, from our entire family, my wife, who's a Marine, she runs the house, of course, and myself, I want to thank you for fighting for us because, you know what? Somebody said the voters are at fault, but the voters are the ones that put the politicians in so they can put all the lip service. But Todd, you continue to call them on the carpet. You do what's right. And I want to say God bless you and keep you and your entire staff. Thank you for giving us a voice. When the politicians aren't listening, they shake in their boots and pee their pants when you get them on the carpet.
All right. Well, John,
God bless you, Todd.
Well, thank you for that. And yes, we don't mind when we make a politician soil their pants. That's normally a good day around these parts. But to John's point, you know, it's really appalling that our veterans are not better taken care of in this country. And that's what angers me about Ukraine. We're spending hundreds of billions of dollars in Ukraine when that money could be used to take care of our veterans here at home. I'll give you an example. In Memphis, which is in Shelby County, largest county in the state of Tennessee. Now, there's a smaller county. I think they have like 40,000 members. And in this one county, they have 10 Veterans Affairs caseworkers or agents. And I'm getting the terminology wrong, but bear with me. So that's 10 in a small county like that. Here in Memphis, we only had two, and we have the largest veterans population in the entire state. We should have at least two dozen. But again, this is what it's going to take. It's getting out there, as John just said, and calling your elected leaders and telling them to take care of the veterans. I mean, shame on us if we don't take care of those who sacrificed for this country. I want to play some audio here. This is really getting a little bit out of hand already in the Republican circles. So Ron DeSantis is going after Donald Trump, and he's accusing President Trump of turning over America to Dr. Fauci. Cut number four.
I think he did great for 3 years, but when he turned the country over to Fauci in March of 2020, that destroyed millions of people's lives. And in Florida, we were one of the few that stood up, cut against the grain, took incoming fire from media, bureaucracy, the left, even a lot of Republicans, had schools open, preserved businesses. And so Florida, since COVID, has outperformed virtually any state in the country when you look at all these significant metrics. I mean, we're booming. We've got people moving in here. Wealth is coming in here. And so I think when people look back, you know, that 2020 year was not a good year for the country as a whole. It was a situation where Florida started to stand alone. So I think that that's important contrast.
So he was doing an interview, I think that was with Glenn Beck. And did you hear what Beck said? Yeah, yeah. You see, I want to explain why Ron DeSantis will go on that program, but he will not come on this program. Because we would have called out Governor DeSantis. We would have been polite about it. But what the governor was offloading there on Glenn Beck's radio program for his national audience was a load of fertilizer. And it wasn't even grade A fertilizer. It was crapola. So, again, DeSantis said, oh, well, we were taking care of the businesses while Trump was shutting everything down. First of all, Trump gave that authority to the individual states. Second of all, we were right in the throes, the early stages of the pandemic when nobody knew what was going on. And at the time, it seemed like a prudent thing to do at the time. But after the 2 weeks went to 4 weeks, went to 6 weeks, went to, 2 years? Well, yeah, that's when it became a problem. But you can't pull this one. You can't drop this one on Trump. And here's the reason why. Again, I told you, folks, we've got the audio. So if the governor would have come on this program, I would have said, well, governor, I hear what you're saying, but, sir, isn't it true that you actually threatened to suspend businesses that did not shut down or did not enforce social distancing? And he would have said, I never said such a thing. And I would have replied, Josh, play cut number 8.
But it is important to follow the guidelines. And if people see a pub or a restaurant, you know, if they're operating at 55%, okay, give them a warning. Tell them, hey, 50. But if you go in and it's just like mayhem, like Dance Party USA, and it's packed to the rafters, that's just cut and dry, and that's not just an innocent mistake. And so I told him, no tolerance for that. Just suspend the license, and then we'll move on. And then people will, I hopefully, get the message that these guidelines are in place for a reason.
So there you go. So Ron DeSantis was out there threatening to shut down businesses and to punish businesses that did not follow the social distancing rules and regulations. And it doesn't stop there. So again, if the governor had come on the program, he would have said, hey, look, Trump was shutting down the nation, but I kept everything open in Florida. Really? Really, Mr. Governor? Are you sure about that? Absolutely. Well, Governor, what if I told you that we have audio evidence of you saying the beaches were going to be shut down? I never said such a thing. All right, Governor. With all due respect, Josh, would you play cut number 9?
So the message, I think, for spring breakers is that the party's over in Florida. You're not going to be able to congregate on any beach in the state. Bars are closed, so you're not going to have a place to congregate there. So we would just tell those folks, you know, maybe come back next year when things are better. But that is not what we're looking for here in the state of Florida. Every single beach will have to abide by the CDC guidelines. No more than 10 people. You have to be socially distant. Not every beach is going to remain open, but some will. Well, people are being, they're being very mindful. A lot of folks are really taking this seriously, and we thank them, particularly our senior citizens.
Now, I'm just going to be graceful here. I'm going to extend some grace, and I'm not willing to call DeSantis a liar. I'm not going to suggest that we should question his integrity. Maybe, just maybe, he forgot what he did to the good people of the state of Florida during the China virus pandemic. But I also remember some photographs that were taken. You might have remembered the photographs that featured a very popular political candidate at the time. And the candidate was in a classroom filled to the brim with children. And the children were forced to wear these face diapers. And yet the candidate, who was invited to read a storybook, was sitting there without any sort of face covering on at all. Do you guys, you remember that? Yeah, no, I'm not talking about Stacey Abrams. I'm talking about Ron DeSantis. So again, folks, if DeSantis wants to play this game, he can play that game, but we play that game very well too. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. Toll free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people heading out and about over the country. Let's go to the phones here. Chris in North Carolina. Hi, Chris. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Chris. Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm so good.
Nice to talk to you. I wanted to say something first. Other times that I've called, I never told you how happy I was to hear your voice. On that Monday after you got out of the hospital, I was so happy.
Well, Chris, I got to tell you, I was kind of happy to hear my voice, too.
I bet. Anyway, I was
Chris, do me a favor. Turn down your radio. We're getting a little bit of feedback, if you don't mind. And then go right. No. It's all good. All good.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
I want to add to the lady that called in about Walmart. I'm not a CEO. But Walmart's been talking about how much money they've been losing with the self-checks. Hey, I can figure that out. And like I said, I'm not a CEO. Just shut the self-checks down. You know, just do the cashiers. I won't go to a self-check because a lady told me last year that before Christmas they were working her 60 hours a week, and after Christmas they cut her down to like 30 hours. And I'm not going to do somebody out of a job. And another thing, I saw a lady walk in Walmart with a whole bunch of empty Walmart bags. She filled them up with her stuff and walked out. They didn't have a person, you know, at the door watching people.
And she just walked right out.
Yeah, she just walked right out.
Wow. You know, Chris, I go to the Costco every now and again. You know what drives me nuts? You go in there, and first of all, they don't give any bags, so you got to load everything up on these crates. And you pay your bill, and then you walk out the door. Before you walk out the door, they stop you. So there's another massive long line as they go down the checklist to make sure everything you know has been purchased. I'm saying, surely there has to be a better system. That, and I'm not a big fan of the hot dogs. I know everybody loves their hot dogs. I tried one, and I just don't get it. It's okay, I guess, but I'm not sure. They said, it's worth the cost of membership. So I don't
eat out because I like to do my own cooking. I like to know what oil's been used, and I like to do my own salt and pepper, et cetera, and I know my food is fresh. I don't know if it's fresh. I've gotten sick too many times, regurgitated, and had the other end going, too.
All right, Chris, thank you for that. All right, good hearing from you, and thanks for those kind words. No, I know. I probably shouldn't have said anything, but you know, it's just a hot dog. I've had better at Nathan's. I said it. We'll be right back, America. Hey, Dieter, I got to tell you, we got some news. So Madonna is coming to Tennessee. She's going to be doing a concert in Nashville. She's also out there promoting her new coffee table book called Sex. Wow. 64 years old, Madonna is. She probably does need to be moving too provocatively. She might throw out a hip or something.
She doesn't look a day over 15, Todd.
She's like 90. She looks like she's 90. Whoever would have thought that at this stage of their life, Roseanne Barr would look better than Madonna? Who would have thought that?
That's what happens when you go woke.
Anyway, Madonna says that she's coming to Nashville and she wants to get arrested by performing with drag queens. So she says that's on her bucket list.
Wow. What a woman of valor. She's a dandy.
What's the other one? There's another. What's the one that the dresses up in the meat? Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga, Todd.
Yes, that's what
I
said.
How many times do we have to go over phonetics?
It's Gaga. Yeah.
Gaga.
Goo-goo.
Oh, okay.
Go Gaga over goo-goo. No, goo-goo over Gaga. Anyway. All right. Well, there you go. Good luck with that. Madonna, apparently, she doesn't read the newspapers because a judge has actually put the hold on that law. So she'll be dancing with the drag queens for naught. So there you go. All right. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. We've been following this wokeness that has infected the culture. Target, North Face, the LA Dodgers. It goes on and on. Tim Barton on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, president of Wall Builders. And Tim, good to have you on the show today.
Well, Todd, thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about this in the opening monologue of the show. I think a lot of people are not aware of the Human Rights Campaign and the work they are doing to really undermine the traditional values that made America great.
Yeah, it really is sad when you see some of the hijacking of some of these noted movements over time. When we look back in history, some of the Civil Rights Movement, I mean, really, even as we get ready for Memorial Day, right? Memorial Day goes back to Decoration Day from the Civil War. And when you talk about civil rights, I mean, really, that's what the Civil War largely was about. And coming at the end of the Civil War, when you had so much positive ground that was made for equality, so many things were passed. And then, of course, there were lots of issues. You had some Democrats in deep southern states who continued with their racist ideas, and you had the Jim Crow laws. And so then you have the civil rights issues happening in the 1960s. And you see so many advancements, positive movement in America. And then when you look at some of the really positive things that have been done and then be hijacked by people who are now promoting really perverseness and evil and trying to
to force this on kids and on parents. And you have states that are passing laws and to protect teachers and school districts to say that they don't have to tell parents what they're doing with the kids and they can help kids transition and get them medication. I mean, just crazy wokeness. And they've hijacked things that historically have been positive things that have helped America advance and become better. And now they're using those movements to promote evil and to really damage kids with some of this life-altering surgeries and medication that these kids will never recover from in this perverse and evil way. It's really sad to see what's happening.
Well, it is, and it's so important for us to get a handle on this. We talk about the health and the well-being of the country. When you look at world history and ancient history, we know there have been great societies that have literally killed themselves. They've destroyed themselves from within because of the debauchery.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, with some of these great civilizations, nearly every one of their falls has been a decay of morality. And it's, even if you back up historically in America, there was great leaders, political leaders, thought leaders, moral leaders in American history who identified some of these issues. Daniel Webster, a noted political leader, really phenomenal guy in the early 1800s, served in the House and Senate for 30 years. But one of the things that he identified was if America ever fell, it would be because of the internal decay of morals from within. He said that no nation can conquer America. If America falls, it's going to be because we've lost our moral compass, our moral footing. And this is what we are seeing right now. The history of the world shows us when nations, powerful, powerful nations, when they lose a sense of right and wrong, when they lose that moral compass and they can no longer tell basic values anymore, their nation is not going to last much longer. And unfortunately, that is what we are seeing America on that precipice. Now, as Christians and believers, you know, we can be praying and we should be praying for revival, that God would reach the hearts and minds of people, that we would once again embrace basic biblical values and things that would help solve so many of these problems. But if we don't have some level of awakening, some level of restoration, America will go the same direction that every other nation has gone for the history of the world. And that's empires, when they become immoral, when they lose a sense of right and wrong and base morality, they cease to be a powerful nation.
Tim Barton with us from Wall Builders. And Tim, of course, Memorial Day weekend, there are lots of ceremonies and commemorations around the country, but a lot of people don't understand the history and the reason why we take a moment and we pause and we remember on what was previously known, as you pointed out, Decoration Day.
Yeah, it's something that unfortunately that there's some noted holidays in American history that we have done such a poor job in education. We don't understand the significance of these days and these moments. And if you talk to individuals in the military, and especially military veterans, this is not Veterans Day. This is not honoring the people that have served, although certainly we want to honor people that serve all the time. But the people that have served, they can tell you so much at the deeper level. It's appreciating the people that have laid down their life for our freedom. The Bible tells us that greater love is no one than that he lays down his life for his friend. And Memorial Day is taking time to remember those people. It started all the way back at the end of the Civil War. There were multiple states that began having these Decoration Days where they just wanted to honor the people that had laid down their life for country, for a sense of moral kind of salvation, so to speak. And what was happening in America at World War One, this became a little more of a formal celebration. And that's not, celebration is not the right word, but a formal acknowledgement that we want to appreciate those individuals who have paid the ultimate price. And as we look at where our nation is today, it's so easy to get caught up in the politics and the drama of what's happening in the nation and lose sight of the fact that even with all of our problems, all of our drama, we still enjoy so many freedoms and so many blessings that we would not have if it were not for individuals who willingly put their lives on the line for us to be able to enjoy those freedoms and blessings along the way. And we definitely need to take time to appreciate and be grateful for those that have gone before us. And really, as I mentioned, even military veterans, we need to take time to appreciate them on this weekend as well, because for many of them, they will be recalling some of their friends they lost along the way, and they need our support in some of these challenging and trying times. But really, we should be so grateful for the land we live in, the freedoms, the blessings we enjoy. Again, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of problems, we need to solve and fix those problems, but we need to appreciate those who paid the ultimate price for us to be able to live the American dream.
You mentioned, real quick, Tim, you mentioned some of those heroes. And that's one of the challenges, I think, in our school system is we don't teach the stories about the heroes and the sacrifice they made. I know you write about this. You guys have so many great resources. And you talk about one example of heroism on the this happened during the campaign of Guadalcanal, which was back in the early 1940s during World War II.
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought this up. There's so many heroes we could talk about. And, you know, Todd, you've mentioned some of these things and thoughts before on the program. It's crazy with how many amazing heroes we have in American history that we have so often bad stories coming out of Hollywood, right? We have bad movies when, man, we could be highlighting so many amazing stories. One of them is a guy named John Bassalone. And there's several moments in his story of heroism. There were times when he was leading an American group of soldiers, and they were surrounded by Japanese, outnumbered by the hundreds to one as far as that percentage. I mean, so outnumbered, and he just starts laying down fire, protecting his guys. Some of his guys are dying around him. The battle got so thick and heavy that he actually had to go out and move some of the bodies. He'd killed so many guys trying to protect his troops, trying to hold the line, that the bodies were stacked so high he couldn't see past them to see the other guys that were coming in. He had to get past the line, push bodies out of the way. And when we think about combat and the trauma that people go through, I mean, some of these guys, what they saw, what they did to try to end some of the evil that we have seen in the world, this is who John Bassalone was. He's a guy that should be remembered, that should be celebrated, who should be honored. And unfortunately, because we don't tell the stories of these heroes anymore, most people have never heard of them. So I would encourage people, go look up the story of John Bassalone, see all the amazing things he did, and know he's just one of tens of thousands of some of the amazing heroes that have paved the way for us as Americans to enjoy our freedoms and our blessings.
Well said. And we've got a lot of those stories at wallbuilders.com, everybody. So wallbuilders.com. Pull those stories out and give them to your kids. Read them yourself. And let's educate the next generation of American patriots on the great heroes that secured our freedom. Tim, I really appreciate the time that you spent with us today, and we greatly appreciate the fine work you guys are doing there at Wall Builders.
Thanks so much, Todd. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Tim Barton on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. So let me tell you the rest of the story about John Bassalone. So he was at two major battles, the Battle of Guadalcanal, where, as Tim described, he saved many, many lives. Then at Iwo Jima, he was making his way to an airfield, and he came across an American tank that got trapped in a minefield. So Bassalone is under fire. He guides the tank out of the minefield, and the tank arrived safely, but he was killed by flying shrapnel. And he was awarded the Navy Cross for his courageous actions, posthumously, of course. He was also awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor for his actions at Guadalcanal. We need to be teaching next generation patriots these great stories, right? And that's the point of this radio program, is that we want to do that every single day. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Connor in Boston. Connor, what's on your mind today?
Todd, first of all, it was a pleasure. But I'm going to tell you, the last guest you had on talking about Memorial Day and the loss of, you know, America's lost its appreciation for this as a holiday. And I really think that this has to do with the left and, you know, quite frankly, due to, you know, the repugnant way that the president, President Biden, has treated our military men and women. It'll be very interesting to see how he honors our fallen military men and women on Memorial Day, but my hopes aren't very high for him.
Well, it's because it's not high on the priority. You know, they hate our military. They hate our country. They hate us. They hate what we stand for. And so I'm not surprised, Connor, that they would not go out of their way to honor and remember the sacrifices of these great patriots.
And, you know, maybe if the far left, the alt-left, is the way I look at it, and the Biden administration focused on, you know, putting, you know, America's history and putting our fallen men and women into our education system, into their speeches, you know, maybe a lot of people in this country would appreciate our fallen men and our women, our military men and women who serve right now, because we appreciate them in my household every day of the year. It's not just one day.
There you go. Connor, well said, and hope you and your family have a great, tremendous weekend.
You as well, my friend.
All right, Connor in Boston. Oh, boy, big trouble in Greenville, South Carolina, which, by the way, happens to be a beautiful town. If you haven't been to downtown Greenville, South Carolina, get the wife, the kids in the car, head down. It's just a lot of fun. But, Ben Dieter, this is very problematic. You know, Juneteenth is coming up, and that's the celebration, the holiday marking the emancipation of black slaves. So it's a big deal. So June's a busy month in the Hallmark card section because you have Gay Pride Month, and then you have Juneteenth. So anyway, Greenville, South Carolina, setting up all of these beautiful banners all over town commemorating Juneteenth and the big celebrations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good thing. That's a noble thing, right? You want to let people know, hey, we got to celebrate the emancipation of the slaves. There's just a problem.
What's that?
Well, it turns out that the Juneteenth banners featured two people on the banners, and they were both people of the Caucasian persuasion. They didn't have any black folks on the Juneteenth banners.
Oh, man.
Oh, it is. I mean, people are triggered.
I mean, if the NAACP doesn't issue a travel advisory against Greenville, they're not doing their job.
They're accusing the white people of erasing everything black. No, if you want to, hey, we can have that conversation here in Memphis, Tennessee, but they're erasing everything white here. Anyway, people are enraged. A spokesman for Fighting Injustice Together says, I was appalled, I was saddened, I was angry, because the banner only showed a smiling white man and woman.
I mean,
it's terrible.
I'm looking at the banner, and in all fairness to this activist, you could have chose a different model. That's all I'll say.
So the black business leaders in charge of all of this, by the way, this is not, don't put this on the white folks. This is not a Caucasian problem. The black business leaders, according to the New York Post, the black business leaders who made up the Juneteenth board defended the banner. And they say they were trying to reflect the diversity of the local community. What are they thinking? Are you kidding me? Juneteenth isn't about diversity, sir.
It's rough.
Oh, man.
How do you make that? How do you print those? Where was the last person to sign off on this? I want to talk to him.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not good. It's not good. You know, the only hope is that the white people were actually self-identifying.
Right. Because they could identify as black Americans, and then who's to say they shouldn't be on the banner? Though this kind of looks like, is it the Tanger or the Tanger? I can never get it right.
Tanger.
It looks like an advertisement for the Tanger outlets.
Yeah, it doesn't like ooze like Juneteenth, right? It's like more like
an H&M model.
We have a sale going on.
Yeah.
It's
maybe they do.
Could be. I don't know. But it's funny because the black leaders were trying to be diverse and inclusive, and that's not what Juneteenth is about. I could have even told them that. Just head on downtown to Memphis, where they got a giant hair pick sticking in the middle of the park.
Oh my gosh,
where Jefferson Davis used to be.
I was running beside it yesterday, and there was a whole group of people out taking a photo with the hair pick.
Gotta run. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. If you are anywhere near Memphis this evening, Ben Dieter and I and some of the other staff at the Mighty 990 KWAM are going to be at the beautiful Overton Shell in Overton Park. The Bellevue Baptist Orchestra and some of their friends are going to be playing a Pops concert under the stars tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we love to see you come out for that. Also, Monday, of course, Memorial Day, find a place where they are holding a ceremony or service. Bring your kids and let them see what Memorial Day is really all about. And it's so incredibly important. And again, if you're in a town that is celebrating Fleet Week, Fleet Week and you see some Marines or sailors, you go over, shake their hand, and ask the waiter just to give you the tab. All right, folks, we got us good out of here. Thanks to Josh, Ben, Grace, our great team here. You folks have a great Friday, and whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.